Have you ever been asked a dumb question? Of course you are, because I just asked you a dumb question. Everybody's been asked dumb questions. What I'm talking about is the kind of question where the answer is so obvious, it's like, why did you even ask to begin with? It's right in front of you. So, an example. Let's say that you get into a car wreck, all right? And so you're out surveying the damage, right? Looking to see what's happening. And somebody who looks like he's in charge walks up and says, "So, what seems to be the problem here?" Well, the honest answer is, look, I mean, there's been a car accident, right? Now, unfortunately for me, when I'm asked questions like that, I tend to slide over into sarcasm. I have a genetic disposition towards that. So I probably would say, well, let's just take a look here. Let's see, my car is all smashed in the front. That car is all wrinkled up in the back end. There's all kinds of glass and plastic. I don't know. What do you think the problem is? It's a dumb question, right? The answer is obvious. It's right there in front of you. But sometimes when what seems like a dumb question is asked, they want to get past the obvious answer, the honest answer about the whole thing, and get at something a little bit deeper. So, for instance, at the accident, so what seems to be the problem here? If it's got quickly followed up by, is anybody hurt? No. You got insurance on the cars? Yep. Is it going to pay for all the repairs? Yep. So what's the problem here? You see the difference? Nobody's bleeding. Nobody's going to the hospital. Everybody's okay. Yeah, it's an inconvenience because the cars are smashed in, but they're going to get repaired because you've got insurance and it's going to be paid for. You see, there's a deeper answer than the straightforward, obvious, honest answer. Well, we've had an accident, you idiot. Just take a look. Jesus was the master at asking questions. In fact, the Gospels record for us over 100 questions that Jesus asked. And sometimes the questions, frankly, if we looked at it honestly, we say, that is a dumb question. Because the answer is so obvious, and you kind of want the person who's responding to be honest with Jesus with the answer. They rarely are, right? They try and be nice about the whole thing. But in those instances, Jesus is actually looking for a deeper answer. He wants to bring the person to a realization of a new truth. So beginning today, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at three questions that Jesus asked. They were simple questions. They had obvious answers to them. But we want to dig in a little bit deeper and see, so what is the deeper answer to that question? And we begin today with Jesus' question, why are you so afraid? Now, the context of that is that he's just calmed down a ferocious storm on the Sea of Galilee, and the boat was filling with water, right? So it seems like kind of a dumb question, right? Why are you so afraid? Well, the honest answer to that is because we thought we were going to die. That's why we're afraid. I mean, the boat is filling up with water. We're going to get capsized. It's the middle of the night. What do you mean, why am I so afraid? Isn't it obvious why I'm so afraid? Now, to be honest with the disciples, they have a point because they're absolutely correct. The Sea of Galilee is a beautiful place, but it's also an unusual place. It's surrounded by these mountains, hills, really more or less, and it has all these valleys that sort of twist and turn into it, which means at one moment it can be completely calm. And then almost in an instant, a storm can pop up and be ferocious, right? And that's what happened this night. Everything looked good when they set off to sail across, right? And then, boom, the storm comes up. Now you can say, now, hold on. Weren't some of the disciples fishermen? They know how to handle a boat. Well, sure they do. Not at night. They fish during the day. And they stay a whole lot closer to the storm. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, in the middle of the night, and this storm comes up. The wind is crashing so hard upon it that it's spilling into the boat, right? Mark records it all for us because that's what we do. When we're caught in a storm of life and we're asked a question, why are you so afraid? We give an account, right? We give a detailed account. This is why we're afraid. Look, Jesus, look at all the things that have happened, right? And it was a terrifying experience for the disciples. They thought they were going to drown. Let me say this. The storms in your life are no less terrifying than that night on the Sea of Galilee. You may not be in a boat, but maybe you're in the doctor's office and he says the cancer has returned. Or you're in your living room and the phone rings and your son's been arrested. You're in your boss's office and he says, you're done. The storms of life are real and they're painful and they're hard to navigate through. It was for the disciples that night. It was a terrifying moment for them. And the honest answer is, why are we so afraid? Because we don't want to die. Why are we so afraid? Because we don't want the cancer back. Why are we so afraid? How in the world am I going to take care of my family? There's all kinds of reasons why we're afraid. And that's the honest answer to that question. So why does Jesus ask it? Because he wants to go a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. But all the time that we give an account of everything that happens, unfortunately, that's always followed by an accusation. That's what happened with the disciples, right? So they wake him up and they say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Now, they pose it as a question, but in reality, it's a statement. In reality, it's an indictment against him. What they're really saying is, Jesus, you don't care. Jesus, you're unconcerned. You're sleeping in the boat and we're trying to bail water. You don't care about us. We're all on our own. You've had those conversations with God. When you're in the storm of life, the first thing that you do is you give an account to God and you tell him all the bad things that are happening in your life. You list it out in detail. At least I do. Let me tell you, God, everything that's happening right now. The bottom is falling out. I was going just along fine. The rug got pulled out from underneath me. And just look at all this list of things that are going wrong in my life. And then it comes. After you give the account to God, then comes the accusation to God. God, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm going to be all alone? Don't you care that my child is hurting? Don't you care that I can't pay my bills? God, don't you care? The account leads to the accusation because we're terrified. Because when the storms of life hit, we feel like we're all alone and we don't know what to do. And it seems like God is nowhere to be found, and God is not lending a hand. This is why Jesus asked the question, why are you so afraid? He's not looking for the obvious answer. He's looking for a deeper answer. He wants the disciples to come to a realization, and he wants us to come to a realization that when we're in the storms of life, there are three things that we can count on. We can count on his presence, his power, and his purpose. We can count on his presence, right? Jesus is in the boat with the disciples, right? He's in the middle of the storm with them. Jesus isn't off on the shoreline someplace, right, giving them encouragement. Keep bailing, boys. It looks like it's okay. I just popped up the Weather Channel. Radar says it's going to be clearing in just a little bit. He's in the boat with them. He's in the boat with you. No matter what you're facing in life, Jesus is there with you. You're never alone. He never abandons you. Now, the thing is, it's so hard to remember that because when you're in the middle of some tumultuous time in your life, it feels like you're all alone. It feels like everything is going against you. And it's hard to remember that you're not alone, that God indeed is with you. That's why we have to go back to the Word of God and we have to be reminded of the promises of God. Let's take a look at just a few. The very words of Jesus, the last one's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus says, I am always there for you. I'm with you at all times, even to the end of the age. Go to the Old Testament. Take a look at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. In other words, he's standing ready. He's ever-present. He's always there to walk beside us. How about if we go to the book of Hebrews? The writer there records for us. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what God says. I'll never leave you or forsake you. If you go to the next verse, he quotes another Old Testament passage. He says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God is my helper, if God is beside me, then what in the world do I have to fear? Or we can even jump in to Psalm 23 and just pull out verse 4. It says this, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Because God is with me. That's why. God is always present during the good times and especially during the storms of life. The thing that you need to remember is never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Never let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. He's always there with you. It's his promise, his presence. There's his power. Jesus has power and authority over all things in our lives. He demonstrates that to the disciples. Take a look at Mark chapter 4. And he awoke, he rebuked the wind and the sea, and he said, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. It obeyed him. The wind stopped, the waves calmed down. In fact, this entire section of the Gospel of Mark is all about Jesus' power and authority. Here in chapter 4, it says power and authority over natural forces. So he calms the sea and he stills the wind. You go into chapter 5 and he encounters a man who has a legion of demons and he casts out the demons. He has power and authority over spiritual forces. He goes from there and he raises a girl back to life. He has power and authority over life itself. This demonstrates for us that Jesus has power and authority over all things that are happening in our life. And he has power and authority to whatever storm is happening in your life. Now, if you're going through something right now, if you're in the middle of a storm, I know the first question that just popped into your mind, because the first question that always pops into my mind, if God has this power and authority, then why isn't he doing something? He calmed the sea. He calmed the wind. Made it calm. Why isn't he doing something? Well, fact number one, who says he isn't? Just because you can't see what he's doing doesn't then mean that God isn't active. Because I promise you, God is doing something. Now, we don't always see what God is doing. We may not always understand what God is doing. But I promise you that God is active in your life. And he does have the power and authority for what's happening in your life. And there's a reason behind what you're going through right now. We're going to get to that in a minute when he has a purpose for things. Right? But there is power of Jesus in the circumstances of your life. A couple facts to remember. Fact number one, you don't have to have very many years on you to have some trouble, to have some storms that you have gone through, right? All you got to remember back, just a little while ago, each of us have had rocky times in our life. We've all had circumstances where we didn't know which way was up, felt like the bottom fell out from underneath us. We didn't know how we were going to get out of it, and yet we did. I propose that's the power of God in your life. Just look to the past of the things that you have lived through. And my guess is now, today, as you look back, you think it wasn't all that bad. But trust me, when you were in the middle of it, it was worse. When you were in the middle of it, you were so confused that you thought you were all by yourself. But looking back now, you can see the power of God in your life getting you through that storm. The second fact you're not going to like, and it's a fact that I don't like, but the fact is this. Sometimes the storms don't stop. This side of heaven, sometimes the storms don't stop. There are those today who are going through a tsunami of persecution because of their faith in Jesus Christ. They are suffering greatly. Some of them are giving up their very life because of their faith. The storm in this life didn't end. But here's where we get at the true power of God. Here's where we understand the supreme power of Jesus, because he even has power and authority over death. What I'm saying here is don't make Jesus just a miracle worker. Don't make Jesus just someone who makes the lame be able to walk and the blind be able to see and cures all of your diseases and takes care of all of your troubles. Just a miracle worker. He's that and so much more, because his power and authority extends even over death itself. That's what the cross and the empty tomb is all about. Because on the cross, he took on the worst storm of your life, and it has been averted for you. It is the storm of sin. Because we are convicted, we know that we have not lived up to God's standards. We have not been the people that he wants us to be. But Jesus, though he's innocent, takes on all of your guilt and my guilt, and he takes the punishment of sin on the cross, and he dies. He dies. But death can't hold him. That's the point. Death can't hold him. 3 days later, he comes out of the grave victorious over sin and death itself, which means he has supreme power and authority even over death. Because it means the victory he had over death, he gives to us as well. I'll try and put this as bluntly as I can. In that Sea of Galilee when the storm hit, if the disciples wouldn't have went under, Jesus still would have saved them. What I mean by that, he would give them the ultimate saving, because he has the power over death itself. That ultimately, for us, every storm will end and victory will be given to us, because Jesus has the power. There's also a purpose. There's a purpose in everything that happens in our life, right? God gives it a purpose. Some things don't make any sense at all. But God has a way of turning around every event in our life and giving it purpose and meaning and using it for our ultimate good. Take a look at the incidents with the disciples, right? So if you take a look at Mark chapter 4, I'm actually going to pop up to verse 40. And so Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" And then you go down to verse 41. Now I'm reading from the English Standard Version. And he says, "And they were filled with great fear." And that sounds the same, doesn't it? They were, "Why are you so afraid?" And they're filled with great fear, right? In fact, in the NIV, they say they were greatly afraid. I disagree with that. There's two very different words that are used here and two very different connotations. The first one, when Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid?" The word "afraid" there means they were terrorized. I mean, they were having high anxiety, right? They were fearing for their lives. They were shaking in their boots. But in verse 41, and it says they were filled with great fear, what it means is they were filled with a reverent awe of Jesus, right? They realized they were standing in front of someone they didn't completely understand. It wasn't a fear like they were afraid. It was the fear of being in awe, in reverence of God. That's evidenced by what happens next. Because then they say, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Right? They're coming to a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. Right? So through the storm, they've come to a deeper understanding of this man that they're following. They're still young in their faith, but they just took a quantum leap forward in it. But they had to go through the storm. You and I have to go through the storm. We don't like going through the storm. It's frightening going through the storm. But we go through the storm, and God uses those rocky times in our life to make us even stronger and more committed to him. And that's what he was getting at, James was, when he wrote his letter. He said to them back then, he said, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Steadfastness or perseverance. In other words, he uses these times to fortify us, to make us stronger than what we were before. Now, I don't know about you, but if something has a point to it, or there's a purpose to it, then I can put up with a lot. But if something is just senseless and it seems to have no point or purpose to it, I get extremely frustrated, and I really can't deal with that very well. What God tells us is that even the senseless things in life, that He will use them for a purpose and a point of making us stronger. He says that all things that happen in our life are ultimately going to work together for our good. Now, sometimes we'll see it, we'll understand. I understand what happened. Oftentimes, we don't, right? We're going to have to wait till heaven to find out why is it that had happened. But God uses all these things because He's got the big picture, right? We're just looking at a sliver. He's got the big picture, and He sees how it all works together, which means there's a purpose. Knowing that there's a point and a purpose to what's happening in my life, I can weather the storms a whole lot better. I can get through them a whole lot better. That's because He has a purpose. That doesn't mean that storms are pleasant. Storms are frightening. If Jesus were to ask you today or ask me today, why are you so afraid? Our answer would be the same as the disciples back then. How can we not be afraid? Look at all the things that are happening. We're scared to death. But Jesus probes a little bit deeper. He says, no. Why are you afraid? He wants us to have a realization that when we go through the storms of life, He promises His presence, His power, and His purpose. Amen. Stand and pray with me. Lord Jesus, we know that You are with us at all times and in all places, whether the good times or the bad times. And if we look back, we can see Your power in our life through some of the tumultuous times. But Jesus, I pray for those gathered here this morning that are going through some sort of storm in their life. Something's happening. They feel all alone. They feel out of control. I pray that they would know Your presence, that You would send Your Holy Spirit to them, that You would assure them beyond a doubt that they're not alone, that You're with them. I'm bold enough to pray that You would demonstrate Your power in their lives, that they could see You active and they could see a solution to what's happening if it's Your will. And then I just ask that all of us would understand that because of You and Your promises, that everything in our life happens, it happens together for our ultimate good, our faith in clinging on to You as our Savior. Amen.